Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 258, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Thursday, October 13th, 2022.
Yep. National No Bra Day, National Metastatic Breast Cancer Awareness Day, National Train Your Brain Day, National Yorkshire Pudding Day.
Was it not just No Bra Day very recently, or was that Bra Day?
Maybe. I don't know.
Or maybe just No Bra Day just rings out in my mind every year that we do it. And it seems like it was just yesterday.
I mean, because I think, you know, just October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I feel like you're having a lot of, like, every couple days probably something to do with it. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense that it would be the same day as Metastatic Breast Cancer Awareness Day. For sure.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
So you guys made sure not to wear your bras today, right?
I'm not wearing my bra.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Mine's in the wash right now.
Yeah. Solid.
So yeah. I'm not going to lie and say I didn't wear it because I was observant. It's just in the wash.
You got the one. You just got the
I got the one, yeah, that yeah. I just wear out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This one bra. Dude,
never mind. I'm not even asking.
He's like, what kind of detergent do you use, Jackie?
Well, no, I was just like, dude, people wear their bras out. Like, nah, I think it's just a gross straight cis dude thing of like wearing your underwear till it turns to spider webs.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's definitely someone who wears their bra out. Like, you're in just your like, 30s. You should have, like, a number of them. Like, yeah, buy yeah, a new yeah, one like, already.
But I got old yeah. Webby here. Been by my side since 03.
That is a form of self-care that I only got, like, once I got my shit together in, like, my mid to late 30s. I was like, oh, I can buy more than, like, one pair of underwear every 5 years. Like, I don't need to have the same underwear.
I get that. Yeah. Rather than that like, pity pack my mom buys me, she's like, damn, fool, you still wearing that underwear? All right. I know what you need for Christmas.
Yeah. Forever. There's good underwear out there. It's wonderful.
You wouldn't. Yeah. Would you guys rely on your mothers to supply you with undergarments?
I was such a ineffective adult.
I am baby.
I was baby for sure. But now I'm baby with Webby underwear.
Yeah. There you go. Oh no, get rid
of it.
You
still got the Webby underwear, y'all?
I only got, to be honest, to keep it real, I only have one pair of Webby underwear.
And I think I'm like, I hold on to it. It's like the same way I haven't fully watched the last episode of Seinfeld. Yeah. I'm like, it ain't over. It ain't over if I keep these.
Wow.
Why do you keep them, though? Like, why don't you just let them go?
No one wants them. I think it's probably some metaphor for, like, my arrested development on some level.
Yeah, inability to let go of...
Yeah, like, even like, something as objectively as, like, this doesn't function as underwear. I'm like, well, I don't know. The waistband still has elastic in it, even though most of it has detached from the waistband, and I got to lift it up from one side.
Right.
When you're ready, you can just have a ritual and just be like, thank you so much for all you did for me.
Yeah,
now
thank
it's time
you.
For you to go. Like Marie Kondo it. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. You know what?
Express
I got to look at it like that rather than
burn
a loss.
It. Burn it and bury the ashes in the backyard.
That's all right. Well, y'all, really, I'm going to go live on Friday on Instagram. Make sure you follow me. I will say bon voyage to the pair of underwear made by that brand Head, which made tennis rackets, because that's the random underwear I would buy at Ross.
Wow.
Oh, you buying underwear at Ross too?
Yeah.
Are you buying a multi-pack?
Tennis racket underwear, and then it ends up
being... with brands like off-brand, like they're like, yo, they make sporting goods. I'm like, and shitty underwear.
Yeah, and it ends up looking like the netting in a tennis racket.
Exactly.
You wore it out so much.
The visual.
Oh man.
All
anyway,
right.
Enough.
Well, that's all we're talking about today. But before we get to that, I should introduce myself. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka. Oh no. Okay, here we go.
Sorry,
we've been singing songs since like right before we recorded. Now I've got like it's this one thing in my head instead of the Scooby-Doo theme, which is Hocus Pocus 2 will curse you. I read it in the Bible. If you watch this film, kids will be killed because you unleash Satan. That is courtesy of Josea on Twitter. Shout out to you. This kind of fucked me up doing the research for this, aka just like going on YouTube and being like, what's that song go like again? Because the version that this goes to was not the version I grew up with. And I was like, do I have a false memory? Like, did I just write a version of the Scooby-Doo theme song in my head? But I think it was like the 60s, 70s version that I was seeing. Anyways.
Got you.
I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Oh, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Juvenile, kind of. Here we go. That's you in the Get Lambo, huh? That's you in the Can't Keep Your Old Mic because you keep knocking it around, huh? You got to smoke weed, huh? You got to host a podcast about trends, huh? That Oz got some nerve, huh? What's something you Google that reveals something about you, huh? I know I ain't tripping. You see Oz clip with the Simpsons, huh? You want to learn about Kellogg, huh? You ain't scared, huh? You know how to play, huh? You ain't just going to let Kellogg come punk you, huh? Stunt in front you, huh? Straight up run you, huh? You were through the day. You got your trends on fire. Remain in the G. Till the soggy fries retire. You know what it is. You hit fucking caramel apples and handle your biz. With all your crying and your suffering. Okay, my goodness. I had to stop. Shout out some fucking Blockeroni.
Drop all the fucking bombs.
I can't handle it, okay? I can't handle these juveniles, huh? It's wild to see it. And I'm like, I remember trying to rap it as a kid to the album, but I realized it was very spoken word, but the hands did come rhythmically.
Yeah.
So there's an art to that. And look, apologies.
It started out as your impression of
that.
Your grandfather. And then it slowly transitioned. I was like, oh, this is juvenile.
This is his grandpa farting, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Huh?
Which I have now incorporated in every time I fart.
You got
to. Huh?
Long live Warren Gray.
Yeah, yeah.
That was beautiful. It's still the morning and I wasn't ready for that performance.
I mean,
but you really came with it, Miles. I was like, wow, it is the AM.
Hey,
and
you know,
you bring in like 7, 8 p.m. energy to
look,
it.
I could also be a Nolia boy because I lived off Magnolia Boulevard in North Hollywood, not the Magnolia Projects like the people in, you know, Cash Money, but you know, similar.
Name, so close.
Yeah.
Magnolia from the Paul Thomas Anderson film. But
yeah,
you know, still. Still
kind of like the Magnolia Projects, which are
exactly
whatever, you know, the somewhat comparable.
You guys
obviously
get it. Anyways, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant comedian, writer, actor who you can find in the 2021 book. We Had a Little Real Estate Problem, the unheralded story of Native Americans and comedy. She's been featured on Comedy Central, Team Coco, Illuminative's 25 Native American comedians to follow. It's Jackie Kalia'a.
Jackie! Welcome.
So happy to be back. We're so happy to be back.
Good to have you. Good to have you. Straight from the Bay Area. How are you?
Yeah, what's straight from the Bay. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of impressive musical abilities, you hit us with the "It's This One Thing" chorus before we started recording, and it was so good, so on point that I forgot the Scooby-Doo theme song.
Oh,
so
shit.
I'm just going to say.
I do love to sing. I'm terrified of it. So you guys got like a real treat. I will not do it now since we're recording.
Yeah, no, right. It's okay. I'm just saying, it was like when Superman kissed Lois and made her forget about all the, like, every his secret identity. That's totally what your singing did to my brain with regards to the Scooby-Doo theme song. Also
the compliment.
Important.
Yeah.
Wow, that happened to Superman?
I think it's Superman 2. He reveals who he is and then he kisses her so dang hard. which if you ever like watch 70s and 80s movies, the kissing is real hard.
It's like so aggressive.
They're just pushing their faces together.
I think because when we started getting hornier and doing like the open mouth fake kissing, that people were like, that's pornographic. Just mush your mouths on each other, but the pressure against your faces will show us how horny you are.
I still remember like the November Rain video where Axl Rose open mouth kisses his bride on the altar and being like scandalized by that. Being like, oh, what the fuck? That's not how you kiss on TV.
You're supposed to mush faces.
Yeah.
If you look at the old like 1930s movies, it's really aggressive. Like it's like like they don't really move much as they press as hard as they possibly can.
Yeah.
I was watching a lot of Cary Grant stuff recently. Yeah. You know, it's that season. It's the fall. We're doing rom-coms. And I'm just like, oh, I don't think she liked that.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, come here. Let me bite your gums real quick. He's like, my gums?
Test the structural integrity of your upper lip. Let's see how strong that shit is. Yeah, Cary Grant. All right. Well, Cary Grant. It's Cary Grant season, everyone. Cary season.
I like how there's gifs of Cary Grant kissing. When you search Cary Grant kiss, there's more than one gif of him kissing.
Yeah. Oh, he's kissing. He's getting his kiss out on. His entire career was just on the screen making out.
My man is a smoocher indeed.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to know for any listeners who know, was that how people kissed back then? What or was it just like a weird screen? Like,
see, look at this.
Look at how he kissing her.
Yeah,
that's wild. He got both hands behind her head. Like, hands. I don't know. That's like the least sexy thing I've ever seen in my life.
Just get right here.
Give me the back of your head, girl, and I'm gonna have stiff, loose fingers like I'm wearing alien gloves or some shit.
His fingers are practically interlocked around.
Yeah,
right.
It's like a Muay Thai clinch he's got her in.
Although it is pretty sensual compared to the one that I'm picturing. Like the 80s Tom Selleck kiss or, you know, like where it just seems like it hurts.
Plants them on there. Doesn't
if
really
anybody
ask,
has like a cultural history of that
kissing
on-screen kiss, that type of kissing, let me know.
Oh, I put Burt Reynolds kid. But
hey, let's see it.
Hey, man, home row. Come on now, Mavis. Remind me of the home row. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's kind of kissing. Yeah, I had Burt Reynolds, you know, what a guy.
Burt Reynolds.
Mustache. What a mustache.
Anyway. They were like, feel this mustache.
Oh, Burt Reynolds. Please help.
All right. I want to give you rosacea. All right, Jackie, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about where the right is having to go for heroes these days. They are standing up for the person that, like, one of my favorite, like, buffoons of the last
political dumbasses.
One of the great political dumbasses, the guy who wrote BLM, anarchy sign, Biden 2020 on his garage in Minneapolis.
Hey, intersectionality, folks.
Yeah. You know and what I mean? Everyone's like, we can just already tell you that is fake, sir. Nobody is doing anarchy and Biden 2020. Anyways, they're back. He's back in the news and they're out here defending him. We're going to talk about the Tucker Kanye interview because deleted scenes were revealed and it's pretty wild what was edited out. A lot of anti-Semitism, a lot of very clear evidence that he is struggling with mental illness and all to make Tucker Carlson's point for him, but it's truly just very disturbing shit. before we get to any of it, Jackie, we'd like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay. So my question was, how old is Beyonce really? So I Googled that. And I'm not trying to get the Hive like mad at me. I love her. She's amazing. That said, my friend was like, there are rumors that she lied about her age. So I Googled, how old is Beyonce really? And then an article came up. Her dad is out here being like, she's lying about her age. She's fully 2 years older than she says she is. Her dad threw under the bus.
Matthew, are you for real?
Wait, so how old? So I get the immediate Google response is 41 years old.
Yes.
And so that 43. Is a lie. She's actually 43.
That's what her dad is saying. So, okay. But you know, she had her B-Day album.
Right.
And she talks about 9-4-8-1 B-Day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like apparently it's apparently her dad's saying she was born in 79.
It's 9-4-7-9.
I don't care.
Right.
What is that?
It's actually should be 9-4-7-9 is what the lyric should be. Is what the dad is saying. What does that fucking matter? I mean, that doesn't change. That functionally has nothing to do with the music, but
no.
But I guess also speaks to how fucked up the industry is. Did they say why? Like, is it that she's lying? Because, sir, weren't you the manager?
Right.
He's implying that she is lying. Right. And I was just curious because I didn't know the age difference between Jay-Z and Beyonce. It's 12 years, according to the record.
Sure.
So I'm like, anytime it's 10 or over, I get, you know.
And there's some tricky math stuff on when they met and how old she was. So this could actually be like, you know, exonerating for Jay-Z if she was indeed 2 years older than she says she is, because I think they met when she was like 17 by current age count.
Right.
It's definitely something that happens. I know somebody like from high school who came out to LA and has a different birthday by 5 years than they did in high school.
We know so. this beef.
Okay, two works, but five, that's pushing it. That's when you have to have new generational, you have to like talk
different. Yeah, you gotta up your research. Yeah. You gotta say like, that's groovy.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta purge your old language. Like, I use old words and I didn't realize it until I started dating someone younger than me and I was like, oh shit.
Well, it's funny too, like it's funny the way I speak Japanese is I was like raised around Japanese like my uncles are speaking. So a lot of times you're like, yo, bro, you talk like a fucking old man.
Right.
Yes.
And I'm like, I get that because my biggest like linguistic influences at that time were old dudes. And like over time, I'm like, as I like, you know, like modernize my vocabulary, I'm still kind of falling into like these expressions that are like, bro, that's what my dad says shit. I'm like, hey, bro, that's me. I'm old at heart.
That is so funny. I love that. On my mom's side, my mom was Portuguese and her family came over in the early 1900s. So I picked up phrases in Portuguese and I brought them to Portugal and everyone was like, I said like adeus, like to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's like saying fare thee well. We just say ciao. We just say ciao here. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ta-ta, I was like, good sir. Yeah.
But until I was like, oh, again, of course.
Cheerio.
I'm using language from like the 1800s. Like, that's my vocab.
You're like going way back. You're like, are you an old mariner?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, should we take a ride on the penny farthing? What should we do now? Yeah. So I totally hear you, Miles, on that because
it happens.
I got old language in my head.
Yeah. The thing, I would say this, like, if we were going to just to go back to the Beyonce thing, right? The one video that I feel like we could look at was the Star Search video, right?
Right.
That we all know. Give me a 1-2 check. Obviously, we know from Flawless when he's like, "And from Houston, Texas, girl time."
Yes.
So in that, right, that was in 93. So she would have been 12. So I guess by this logic, what she would be 14?
14.
14.
It's hard. Which is probably where it comes in handy, right? Like that age being like this young 12-year-old. Yeah.
Right.
Like it just makes it more impressive. And then
totally.
You just get to ride it through your career. Although now I feel like it's, first of all, she already looks better than any 41-year-old human being has ever looked.
Or 30,
so if she's actually 43. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she's 43. Like it's science. Maybe it's like a superhero secret identity to bring that back. Maybe it's like she's trying to keep herself, her real age a secret, because otherwise science would be putting her in a lab and like trying to study her.
Well, more than that, right?
It's impossible that she looks this good.
You could potentially figure out when the deception happened, right?
Right.
Because the deception.
If it happened in 93 on Star Search, right? And they're like, look at this 12-year-old girl or whatever. Is that Beyonce being like, daddy, tell him I'm 12?
No.
Knowles being like, yeah, man, my little girl ain't 12. Look at her go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where I'm like, bro, I think, or if anything, are you telling on yourself for lying about her? Like, nothing about it makes it seem like Beyonce, like, wanted to change her age.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. I'm having trouble wrap my head around this,
right,
Matthew.
I just greenlit the podcast the three of us are hosting called The Deception. And it's all just trying to untangle the truth about Beyonce's age. I think we can do it.
Right. And why is her dad even out here talking about it? Like, why? Yeah. No one.
Sir.
It doesn't matter.
Please sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Mm-hmm. You know, or come with come with your own House of Darion so we have something to talk about.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
I'm so tired of Instagram influencers. I'm just tired of it. Like, I hate how, like, when I used to look at Instagram content, it was like, oh, this is a cute outfit. And now everything is like sponsored by a protein powder or sponsored by like some stupid product. And I'm just annoyed. Like, you'll see like a really cool thing, like, hey, check it out. I just redesigned my new house. Now check out this pillow by the Pillow Man or just whatever. And I'm just like, can we stop? It's basically just marketing into our faces. And it's like, I think of these Instagram influencers as like, this is their heyday, because it's going to come crashing down eventually.
It is crashing down right now.
It's happening. And it's what are you going to, I don't know. I just think it's funny. Like, in 50 years, well, back in my day, you know, I would sell a protein product and I made a lot of money, you know, I don't know. I'm so over it.
Grandma used to be with her Herbalife family all the time.
Exactly. And, and it's very culty.
It's all multi-level marketing shit.
Like, in 40 years, will Instagram still be around, but it'll be like Facebook, only a product that's only used by people in old folks' homes, and they'll be like getting updates like, this influencer house is having a reunion. And we're like, oh, look at them. They got back together.
I'm just over it. And everything just looks so fake. I'm just tired. The world is falling apart. How are we pretending that everything's fine?
Well, that's I think the bit, right, is like, clearly for our generation, like, the commercials stopped working.
Yeah.
Right. And like, so they're like, fuck, bro, these motherfuckers don't watch TV. They can't even fucking afford TV. So how the fuck do we get to them? Oh, that's right. Turn all the shit that they're scrolling through, just co-opt what they're seeing and turn that into the new commercial. And like, and then these people are able to get a lot of money or whatever. Da, 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 da. But even now, like, it's that cycle's happening now, where before you'd be like, oh shit, what's this person who I fuck with? Like, what are they wearing? Is now like, man, this whole person's a fucking ad now. I don't even know what the fuck is real. So I feel like whatever the next thing is probably going to be like incentivizing like people to say shit to their friends on some level. It's like, hey, if we record you bigging up the brand 4 times, like on this app, you know, you'll get a fucking discount or some shit like that, because we need even more like subtle ways to like influence people. But I don't know. Hit me up, advertising.
We're all just one pyramid scheme. You know what I mean? It's all just one bit. Everyone's a walking ad. And that's what frustrates me. Maybe it's just more obvious to me now. Maybe they have been doing it way longer than I knew about it. But I'm like, oh, cool. This is a paid sponsored content. And it also just makes me amazed that people are in their homes fully like creating new content every day about a new product. And it works on me. And I think that's why I'm mad, because I'm like, Instagram has my fucking number.
They got you figured out. Yeah.
Oh, they know me. They're like, she wants this. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Start throwing it off. Just start looking for shit that got nothing to do with you and see.
Totally. So I think they're overrated. Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think about these influencer people?
I think it's overrated for like the idea that they're doing it themselves. I think there are massive teams and production teams behind the scenes that are all helping the illusion that they're doing it by themselves. But it's all invisible, you know, trickery.
I know people who are like, who do influencer shit, and some are just like they run themselves ragged.
Yeah.
Like, which is the other side of it too. Because they're like, my whole life is trying to get a hotel to be like, yo, come through and blah, blah, blah. And then you're all you have to think about every day is like, fuck, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? If you're not like major, I don't know. Like, so when they describe that shit, I'm like, okay, cool. You do get free hotel stays, but like you have no fucking time for anything because you're always thinking about what backdrop do I set up for this or
right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's that Abercrombie documentary on Netflix, like back in their heyday, they were hot and naked. Like, and I just feel like there's going to be a, I was an Instagram model and like,
right.
You know, I had all these sponsorships and Shein was sponsoring me. And it's just going to be talking about how unhappy everybody, because that's, I guess it's what it is. It's like, everyone's unhappy. Shut up and quit acting like you are.
Oh, right, right, right. It's like, own that part. Like, when are y'all, yeah, like, I mean, but that's the fun of social media influencing, right? It's like so curated that you can take out all the parts that make it real.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every famous person is a small to large company. And there's a company worth of people behind them that are, you know, brand strategists and, you know, people, production people.
Help you buy new pairs of underwear when they get Webby.
Exactly.
Have an interest in keeping their career going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I get anyway. Shout out to my team. Shout out my mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Keeping you in the fresh uns.
Trying to.
Like, there, you know, we've heard of like really talented comedians who write for, you know, celebrities on Instagram. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's just an invisible way that people are being helped and, you know, creating this illusion. Right. Anyways.
That was such a good way to put it, though, Jack, that every, like, they're like a small or like a medium to large business, because they are. And I think, I wouldn't have Instagram if it wasn't for comedy. Like, I think I might have like a private page and here's something I did this weekend, but this needing to churn out content, I just feel like it's made zombies out of so many really cool creative people. That's all.
Yeah.
And now it's the art that I care about, man.
I think it's also why famous people end up like having very unhealthy lives, because there is this forward inertia of, you know, multiple people and like families, like a whole infrastructure of people who rely on them to continue to be successful at a thing that might not be making them happy, but like that's not the point anymore. Like you as a person kind of become beside the point at a certain point.
You and that point, you truly are like, I'm not even a person.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking I'm a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
You're a brand. Yeah. Right. That's the crazy part. When people become brands.
But that's, I think, the biggest, the most insidious shit is for that happen with kids, because we've talked about it before. Like, when that relationship is inverted and then the children are now the ones having to supply and support a family financially. That's no child deserves to be in a situation like that.
No good.
You know, like it's so normal. And like, there's not much. And like, so many kids will be like, yeah, I like that. I like that. I make my parents happy and shit like that. But then cut to like 10 years later and it's all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. I follow a kid who makes like silly, meh, meh, just like says ridiculous shit. And she's very cute. And now I'm like, oh no. Am I contributing?
Find out.
Yeah, what's that parent
agent
saying? It's like, we need this shit better do 2 milli.
Right.
Or your power was going to go out.
Right. What is something you think is underrated?
Okay, I think crafting is underrated, y'all.
Hell yeah.
What do you say? Crafting?
Crafting. Yeah, I started crocheting. Okay. I don't know if that means that I'm going deeper into the depression or coming out. I started crocheting. Can I show you the thing that I'm crocheting?
Yeah, please do.
Oh my God, hold on a second. Where did you go?
Don't act like you don't have it right there, Jackie. Oh my gosh, where did I put it?
Now that you asked.
I'm crocheting.
It's supposed to be a narwhal. I have a tail. It's coming. And then it's going to have like a little horn coming out.
Very cute.
Yeah. Speaking of fucking Instagram, it was like, this bitch likes cute little shit. And so I got this ad for like a little crochet kit. Like, it comes with everything. And you follow a pattern. And I'm so fucking impressed with how far I've gotten with having zero experience.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was like, you know what? Like, sitting and doing nothing but like listening to music and like fucking crafting.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Like, I feel like I just feel like.
Well, we've lost that. We've completely lost that.
As thank
people,
you, Miles.
Right?
Yes.
In our digital age, our like office work age, we do not make shit with our hands anymore. We do not do things with our hands. I mean, like, cooking is the thing I really like to do. And I realize because I'm using my hands, I'm creating something tangible. When we do, like, even with this, right, doing the podcast, I'm here talking, expressing myself. I'll type some stuff out and do my research, but I've not really made something tangible like at the end of the day. And I think that's why I gravitate towards things like having to play bass or like trying to play music, because I like to use my hands in service of like creating. And I think to your point, that is a massively underrated thing. And I've picked it up really for like my own mental health care of being like, yo, this gives me something to do. It's like I'm using all parts of my fucking brain. You realize like we're usually just sitting looking at a screen most of the time. And like, yeah.
Totally. Completely. I love that because I don't like I'm doing stand up at night. I'm writing different projects right now. I've got a couple cool things happening. But I'm not using my hands, and I feel like I used to make shit when I was a kid. I used to like sew, like I used to like do all this stuff and like make pillowcases for people. And like remember one Christmas I like sewed like a bunch of aprons for my sisters with different like colors of fabric. Like there was just so much creativity happening in a different way.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this is my like it's very simple. It's very bare bones, but I'm like, you know what? I kind of like this, just having nothing on the agenda, but the fun of creating something by hand.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have real feedback at the end because you've made a thing. It's not like, I played this video game and then like I turn it off and the screen is black now. I don't know what the fuck happened. You know, like at least you
totally.
Can do something. Yeah, I definitely like that. Everybody's do something with your hands. Make something with your hands if you can.
Craft, just for the sake of creating it, you know, so like something that just exists, not like this is part of my grind to like open up an Etsy shop so that I can, you know, be or I mean, if you make it work for you, it's great. But
good for you.
Yeah, I just feel like everything is like connected back to this like attention economy in all these different ways.
Yes. Now that you guys are now that you're saying that out loud, Jack, I was like, oh, my God, I think that's what it is. Like. Everything I do is a way to like make content or push an idea or like a joke or whatever. Yeah. And I think this is the first time that it's like, oh, this is just me fucking learning how to crochet a narwhal. Like, right. There's no,
right.
I mean, I could
how
take
many followers
it way too
does
far.
That narwhal have?
I know exactly. But this narwhal is just like a fun thing. So anyway, I think people should like craft and like make shit. Cook, fucking sew, play the bass, you know, crochet, pick up a new thing. I'm like doing reverse. Like back in 2020, people were crocheting and shit. And now I'm like, okay, it's 2020, like 2022, like we're merging out of things. Like I need to like just pay attention to like a little basic thing. That's what I'm doing right now. So anyway, I love the crafting.
But actually, let's talk after the record, because I do think we could create a highly monetizable brand around the narwhal. If the narwhal was just like had an Instagram, Twitter and TikTok.
Narwhal. And, LOL.
Just put it with the right voice performer. I think we could make magic.
Maybe Chris Pratt. Let's see if he's available.
Oh, no. It's a me. It could have surprised.
Not even. Okay, like, hey, it's me. Narwhal,
me,
huh?
Chris Pratt. What is this place? All right. Let's take a quick
that was
break.
Such a good one.
We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and let's talk about the MAGA loser that firebombed his own garage, as Miles put it in the doc.
Oh, that's so funny.
I mean, this is what that's all what you gotta is. Say. Firebombed his own shit and tried to fucking has no idea about politics at all. That he made it abundantly clear he created a new kind of political creature, which is an anarchist. Who is so into establishment Democratic Party shit. They're an anarchist who fucks with Biden and is also Black Lives Matter, obviously.
Right.
That, again, all this guy was saying, I was targeted because I had a Trump flag. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, it would have been more believable if rather than anarchy, he put, like, malarkey. Like,
right.
That maybe would have been a more easier to transition to that idea. But I really should stop giving notes to these fucking people. But anyway, he was charged with fraud because obviously this shit was obviously made up. And like, his story didn't add up,
right?
Oh, yeah. And then when the insurance people were like, bro, he set himself up. Like, this shit is art. Like, he did this shit. He then threatened the insurers to be like, I'll go to the fucking state controller commerce board or whatever. He's like, I'll take this to the authorities. And then like, look, asshole, like, you're about to fucking go to like court. Anyway, he's been charged with fraud. And now he's like fully admitted. He's like, yeah, okay, like that was okay. Y'all got me, obviously, because the I think that was part of his plea deal. And I feel bad for him because this is just a sad man who's had to spend his waking hours creating fake enemies to oppress himself with. But
oh my God.
And ended up here. But on the right wing, they were not going to take this L like just like regular style. They had to do their best to make this part of like the broader psyop, which we've seen of like just this dumb sentiment that they're pushing, which is Democrats are trying to kill you. Mm-hmm. We talked like a couple weeks ago about Marjorie Taylor Greene saying like that guy ran over the guy because he said he was a Republican. The cops are like, bro, we didn't hear anything about politics. It just sounded like some fucked up murder that had no, right. Like politics weren't a part of it. And like really like leaning into these stories to say, Republicans are at risk for being just us, hateful people. And that's the problem. And on, like, we see this all the time, right? Because they're going to take our guns or fucking critical race theory will brainwash my kids or the election was stolen or liberals are making me a crime wave. It's all bullshit, right? It's all this, like, fucking weird funhouse of horrors with that. Constantly has like a never ending stream of like threat vectors that you have to contend with. That's how they keep their base engaged. So the way they've had to continuously create this sort of aura, the environment in which Republicans are constantly being attacked. And when the story first came out, even though everybody was saying, hey, this obviously looks like fraud to right. any fucking onlooker. I'm sure even someone like Ben Shapiro and Laura Ingraham know anarchists aren't fucking with Biden, if they have any idea of what that right. even means, right? That, again, they had to lean into this shit to the point to just have all these false, you know, like to just equivocate, to be like, well,
yeah,
this is the stake. And I just want to play this for you because you can hear how this is all sort of feeding this environment of fear when they're just not even being critical in the least
yeah,
bit.
I'm assuming him admitting to fraud is not going to come up on their show.
No, you know? No.
Not these. Yeah, they just keep it moving.
None of it's off the table.
Saying arson or graffiti.
Well, the fact is again, generic statements about violence and looting being bad are not going to cut it. We all know that if this were right wingers who were performing this kind of violence, Joe Biden would be out there.
I mean, technically it was.
Right. Okay.
But anyway.
On the front lines proclaiming that right wing ideology was innately linked to violence and cruelty. But as soon as it is left wingers in his coalition who are out there harassing people at restaurants or burning things down or perhaps shooting police officers, as we saw in Louisville last night. Well, then the movement that they are linked to, the broader ideological movement they are linked to, he refuses to condemn.
Okay, blah, 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 blah. So right. this is like part and parcel of the like this same thing. Like even in this, like recently in Lansing, the candidate for governor of Michigan, Tudor Dixon, like showed this like car that was completely tagged up, that being like, and see what happens to some of these supporters out here. I just want to just look at the state of this quote unquote graffiti. It says Antifa revenge on this fucking car. Another one says Trump Nazi scum. Okay, well, I mean, fair point. But again, it says like Antifa targeting all Trump Nazi scum. Like it's as if they're having to be like, this is what is happening in case it wasn't clear before when we just put BLM on stuff.
Right.
And they're again, this someone who is running for the governor's office in Michigan is saying again, this is another example of the radical left's, quote, fight like hell tactics, courtesy of Gretchen Whitmer.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
That's, so we don't know the details of this, but it does certainly look like a right wing person's version of a left wing. You can also tell because they're not good at tagging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
We got skills.
Big one.
Like they didn't even hit the Antifa like as a big nonstop. You know, right. for all my people who threw up graffiti back in the day, like yeah. I would be like, yo, you got skills. Okay.
Right.
Missed opportunity.
Got canceled.
But I mean, the false flag is a standard move of fascists. Like that's how Putin came to power, was he bombed a bunch of apartment buildings in Russia and blamed it on like Russian terrorists, like domestic terrorists, and
Chechens,
got everybody right? scared. So, I mean, this is just small stakes version of the same thing.
Yeah. It's, I mean, hey. This is how they're able to keep everybody lockstep with it. It's like, yeah, man, shit is spooky. But again, it's just interesting because both sides of the political spectrum have their way of maintaining the status quo. Like liberals will convince you that everything is fine and nothing needs to change because we're fucking perfect and we have solved everything. Like that's their yeah. argument against progress. Conservatives convince their base that any kind of progress will result in the fiery deaths of everyone they know.
I do feel like more and more the liberal stance is just gesturing towards this shit and the actual like fascism, anti-Semitism, racism on the other side. And it does become hard to argue with at a certain point, like where they're just like, well, you have to vote because look how bad the other side has gotten, you know,
right.
like it, even if they're admitting, you know, it's not perfect. Biden fucked up and they rarely admit that they like still that particular part of the argument, like the right is making it very easy for the Democrats to stay in the status quo, like, you know, as just the
like,
only option.
They're like, OK, so you want us to go, you know, pedal to the metal with like equality?
Right.
First of all, that's going to be like expensive. And second of all, what you going to do? Vote for the fucking flaming bag of shit.
Right. Yeah.
Well, so, and I guess and it's a perfect deal for everybody, especially for the status quo, because you have enough people to say, nah, shit ain't that bad on one side. And the other people scaring the fuck out of you because yeah. you're trying to give poor people a fair shake.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, like right now we're seeing health insurers rake in fucking record profits with public money, yet the appetite for the establishment Democrats is to act like we just need to protect the Affordable Care Act and we are good money.
Right.
When yeah. there are so many other things, there's so many other cracks that need to be patched up or just entirely like readdressing the system as a whole to make it equitable for people. So it's easy to like, you're like, well, it's fine. It's fine. It's like ACA's.
The argument I keep hearing is that the ACA is going to fail and collapse. And so the government's going to have to come in and rescue it anyways. And so therefore you're going to, there you go. You get your single payer healthcare. It's
right.
Like, well, this seems like a very inefficient way of doing that. And like, that shouldn't necessarily be your argument that this thing's working, that it's going to collapse and that the right. second form of it is going to be good when we've seen that. When things collapse in America, just look at like disaster capitalism. When things collapse in America, it goes very badly stronger. Because just corporations rush in and find ways to make the balance of power and balance of who is making the money even worse for everyday people when they rush in.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what the next outrage story du jour will be. But I mean, like that's all they're doing. And it seems yeah. to it and it's easy enough for people who are not trying to think too deeply to be like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. Yep.
Liberals are too soft on crime. That's it. I don't know what crime is. I don't know what a criminologist is. I don't know what stats are. But yeah, I like this version of what they're saying because I don't have to really think too hard about it. And I can just focus on how difficult my life is, actually. And like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and we're getting a bit of a clearer picture of like what went on with the Tucker Carlson Kanye interview. Two nights of interviews that were treated as like a television event where Kanye was going to reveal like the lie behind liberalism and, you know, that racism's a big myth and that white lives matter. And as we've gotten some distance from it, you know, Kanye has gone on to start tweeting and, you know, posting super anti-Semitic things on Instagram. And it's becoming clear that he's like kind of in the midst of a, you know, mental health episode. And so somebody leaked footage of things from the Tucker Carlson interview, and it made it clear that this should have been, this was evident to anyone who was in the room during the interview. It's just they edited everything out that was made it clear that Kanye West has
like normalizing anti-Semitism or hateful rhetoric or whatever,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Because I think beyond that, right, like I'm not here to say, well, he's mentally ill, so who knows what he's saying is this or that. If he's racist, if it's racism, it's anti-Semitism, if he's struggling with mental health, whatever it is, to have a person out there saying what they're saying, and there's like multiple levels of fucked up here. Tucker Carlson specifically is like, oh, I'll take advantage of this ranting person. I will selectively take out things that will help further my narrative and then insist that he is perfectly fine.
Yes.
On the other side of it, too, because that was the other thing Tucker Carlson was saying. You know, it's like, and he's like, oh, I didn't know. Like, and then when they, okay, but anyway, that's like the, I think the first thing when looking at it is like, wow, you really, you found him to be very useful for you.
Yeah. And let's focus on the anti-Semitism first, because as we mentioned on Trends a couple days ago, Fox News expressed outrage the morning after Kanye West posted a bunch of anti-Semitic things on social media and was banned by the social media platforms. They were like, this is just them targeting people. This is, you know, just treating him as a free speech martyr. And then when, you know, the people started being like, yo, that is, so you guys are coming out as full-throated anti-Semites, they backtracked, sort of. They were like, sorry, we hadn't seen the tweets that he was banned for before we started reporting on the tweets he was banned for. Like, it was very confusing, like, what their argument was. But they also were still saying, but I mean, you know, like, the banning people for saying this stuff is dangerous, because then you don't know about the anti-Semitism that is out there, which is, you know, I don't know. And they also said, like, he should have basically known better that he would be targeted for saying something like that. So it seems like everything coming out of Fox is, like, suggesting that they have an anti-Semitic agenda and are just like are basically here for it. And this makes that crystal clear. So these are things that were said during the Kanye West interview that they just edited out and pretended never happened. So at one point, when complaining that his children are going to school that celebrates Kwanzaa, Kanye West added, I prefer my kids' new Hanukkah than Kwanzaa. At least it will come with some financial engineering. So that's, you know, reflecting the belief that Jews control the financial system. It's one of the oldest, most deeply rooted anti-Semitic claims. That he also said, I trust Latinos when I work with them. I trust them more than, he paused, I'll be safe, certain other businessmen, you know what I'm saying? And Carlson did not ask which businessmen those might
be. He's like, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm picking it up.
Right.
And then he had another one that like didn't make the air. He said, think about us judging each other on how white we could talk would be like, you know, a Jewish person judging another Jewish person on how good they danced or something. And then he said, I mean, that's probably like a bad example and people are going to get mad at that shit. I probably want to edit that out. But then, so Tucker Carlson then comes on, and in his introduction to the interview is like, this is a sane man. This is you judge. I think this is somebody who knows what they're talking about and tries to, you know, use these small portions of the interview to build an argument around, you know, anything that agrees with his viewpoints, except for, you know, anti-Semitism, which I'm sure he doesn't openly admit is one of his viewpoints.
There's a clip that I think Kat Abu put on Twitter that's kind of showing how I think it was Monday's show when Tucker Carlson like revisits the whole Kanye thing and completely ignores the shit he was a fucking witness to, motherfucker. He was saying it to you.
Right.
So don't act surprised unless you've, you know, like, let's like, don't be so foolish here. And it's just like an interesting cut of like Tucker Carlson praising what Kanye was like, Kanye West, while like sort of splicing that with the clips that actually didn't even make it to air, just to kind of show how fucking duplicitous this guy is.
Is West crazy? You can judge for yourself as you watch what we're about to show you.
I prefer my kids' new Hanukkah than Kwanzaa. At least it will come with some financial engineering.
He has his own ideas, we can say that.
Planned Parenthood was made by Margaret Sanger, a known eugenics, with the KKK to control the Jew population.
But crazy? That was not our conclusion.
When I say Jew, I mean the 12 lost tribes of Judah, the blood of Christ, who the race, the people known as the race black, really are.
I mean, there's just hearing that, right? Like, you know, again, this is what's so fucked up, because he's clearly just being like, look, this is great for me because, you know, the way conservatives, especially in the right wing, thinks, they're like, if it comes out of a black or like a person of color's mouth, it means it's the fucking, it's the truth.
Right.
That's it. End of the argument. Because this person who we have, you know, we've othered our entire lives, came to this side and said the thing that we agree with. There it is. There it is. And to then put, you know, like clearly they're just, it's like, it's just disgusting at every level. Like, this guy is like, Kanye is out here saying the worst shit, not being aware of the damage he's doing, not confronting whatever his fucking beliefs are at this point, whatever it is that he believes. And then you have this guy who's like doing it in service of like white supremacy. And you're just
yeah.
Fucking overwhelming.
It's wild. So he also edited out a claim from Kanye that fake children had been placed in his house to manipulate his children. He says in the thing, he's saying this to Tucker Carlson in the same room with Tucker Carlson. I mean, like actors, professional actors placed into my house to sexualize my kid, which these professional actors are like children that are playing with kids of his friends. But he claims that we never believed that this person was her son because he was way smarter than her. Right. Which I can just attest is true of my children. They're already smarter than me. So that's not evidence of anybody being a fake child. But he also, like, so that specific claim that, like, actors are here, I mean, that is something that's common on the right. It's also, like, he has spoken about living with bipolar disorder and experiencing manic episodes. And in a 2019 interview with Letterman, David Letterman, he said, when you're in this state, you're hyper paranoid about everything, everyone. This is my experience. Other people have different experiences. Everyone now is an actor. Everything's a conspiracy. So, like, it couldn't be clearer that he is in, like, going through a mental health break, like a mental break that is something he's experienced before and has spoken about before. And Tucker Carlson is just using that to make his points, which just...
I mean, also room for Kanye to actually be a violent anti-Semite racist.
For
too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what's kind of weird right now is, like, the discussion is almost... People are trying to be, like, either or about
it. Yeah, and it's not. Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a way more nuanced situation. And I get, like, I think for some people, because they're used to not seeing, like, men in the public eye struggle with their mental health or something, that it's like, it's just him being him.
Right.
But that's also like, this is, who knows where it escalates, because he's been threatening people. He's been like, you know, the shit that like Kim Kardashian's shared, like about their interactions. There's nothing that says, oh, unchecked, this ends in a very good place for everyone involved.
Right.
Like, he's at the, I'm being used by Tucker Carlson and I'm like vibing with the alt-right phase of this evolution right now.
Yeah. Mental health struggles have frequently coincided with anti-Semitism. Like, people, you know, Bobby Fischer was like this chess prodigy who eventually, you know, had a breakdown and became like the way that that manifested itself was a lot of anti-Semitism. That's something that comes out. And like to a person struggling with their mental health, like that's not necessarily a defense. And it's certainly not defending what they're saying in any way. It's saying that this is a, you know, a disordered way of thinking that also coincides with the viewpoints that you're putting out on your fucking show, Tucker Carlson. You know, like that's, yeah. I don't think that's the endorsement they think it is, or like the best argument in the world for being like, well, don't other him, or, you know, criticize him because he's going through this, or, you know, it's like, well, you are using these things that are happening during a crisis in this person's life, and you, and the things that are coming out as they're going through this crisis are the things that line up with what you say every night on your fucking show. So like, I don't know. It just feels like such a smoking gun. Like, so we can all agree this is fucked, right?
Well, or, yeah, but Tucker's like, yo, look at this. I'm just normalizing some anti-Semitic shit on the air too. And I don't have to say it.
Right. Yeah.
That's the other dimension of this too. Like,
yeah.
Because those words are now coming out into the public sphere, and you see, like, it's almost every marginalized group can draw a straight line to talking this weird shit out loud in public and letting that cook without, you know, repercussions, and then some kind of violent outcome.
Yeah, there was also just like, this would be the big story if it weren't for all the other stuff we just talked about. But Tucker Carlson during the interview said, "Do you feel at times you're manipulated by political forces through your wife?" And Kanye West said, like, he didn't know how close Kim Kardashian was to the Clintons during the time they were married. So, of course, you know, that overlaps with so many conspiracies and beliefs held by viewers of Fox News. And then he said, I mean, I was vaccinated. They edited that part out of the conversation. So, and Tucker Carlson has aired, like, false and dangerous claims aimed at discouraging people from getting vaccinated throughout the course of the run of his show. So yeah, it's just like flagrant malpractice of humanity. Like, just like, I guess he's not a journalist, but it's,
we knew that,
flagrant, just, you know, immoral disregard for another human being, for an entire race of human beings, for just everything about these details screen that the show should be like, should not exist. But of course, it's one of the most popular shows in America.
Yeah. And yeah, you're getting this just unfiltered anti-Semitism. And it's not like, what's interesting too is he's not going to get the kind of backlash for editing this shit out, Tucker Carlson.
Right.
You know, and if anything, it's probably going to draw his audience towards those outtakes too and be like, well, what'd he say?
Right.
What'd he say that was so bad? Interesting. What's that mean? What's this? Right. What's that? What's this concept? Like, it's, that's what's so fucking dangerous about all of it. Yeah. And it's just wild to watch this like intersection of like media cynicism, like our inability to like sort of like grapple that celebrities are humans who are like, are flawed too. And just, yeah, this thing's got it all and it's fucking putrid.
Yeah. Dark.
Yeah. He's definitely being used. Like, you just see that they're taking advantage of this particular moment.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where this ends up, or like, you know, because clearly like Kanye West is losing business opportunities, etc. I don't know if that really affects him in the long term because he does have a ton of money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think what's, to me, like the most cynical version is I'm like, wow, what a better way to normalize anti-Semitism for a generation of young people than that. You'll have Kanye West say some shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, and that's what's also fucking freaking me out, because there's so many people who still fucking rock with this guy.
Right.
And are like, yeah, man, he's speaking the truth. I'm like, you're fucking 23. You don't know anything. And I mean, like, right. I'm not trying to say you don't know shit or be dismissive of like your age or whatever, but like, if you look up to Kanye West and you are taking these takes at face value, or just taking them seriously, that's a huge issue. And it almost feels like if that's like, you know, if Steve Bannon was like, I've identified the gamers as like a malleable group to like bring into like the right wing, that, like, if you can use like this, like, influence that, you know, like someone like Kanye West has, and be like, maybe I can shift a whole segment of culture in a different direction and take advantage of the fact that this guy will say whatever because he doesn't care or know what he's doing. And that, you know, that serves a darker purpose. Right. That's just why, like, everything about it, like, I just feel fucking gross.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah. It's horrible. But it is a reflection of, like, a really dark place that our culture has gone to. And, like, this all makes sense given what we know of, you know, just the stakes. And, you know, a lot of people are like, maybe Kanye is the next Trump. And I don't know. Like, that maybe this does connect with a bunch of anti-Semites who, you know, it seems like there's more of that out there than anyone was hoping. And I don't know.
Look, if Kanye got into politics, he would start seeing how little power people of color have in there. And I'm sure he'd have something to say again. Or not. Maybe he'll come full circle and be like, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be. But, like, whatever. Fucking yeah. Spooky, fucked up shit.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jackie, truly a pleasure, as always, having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
You can follow me at Jackie Comedy, J-A-C-K-I-E. I've really enjoyed hanging out with you guys today.
Always good seeing you, Jackie.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes, there's this amazing tweet by Alyssa. I can never pronounce her last name. I think it's Limperis. She's an amazing comedian. And it's just Jamie Lee Curtis saying the word trauma over and over again. But it's her. It says me making small talk at a bachelorette party. And that, so fucking funny. And also, like, everyone in the chat is like, wait a second. Is she saying trauma? Trauma instead of trauma? And it sparked a whole conversation about how we've been talking about the wounds from childhood using the wrong word and pronouncing it incorrectly. So, but yeah, I love this comic. She's so fucking funny. And this is, I've been sending this to everybody lately. So me at a, making small talk at a bachelorette party.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And hey, new episode of Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosies just dropped today, so why don't you check that out to hear Jack and I talk basketball, talking Victor Wembanyama, talking about my just the fever dream that is being a Lakers fan.
I started coming around on the Lakers this season. I mean, I'm feeling worse and worse about the Sixers, but I'm starting to feel good about the Lakers because Anthony Davis looks awesome.
Hey, like I said, Austin Reeves gave one little shoulder fake to Steph Curry, and I'm like, hang up the banners, please. Fast forward. And also find me on 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra, some tweets that I like. First one is, and there's this thing, it's from PragerU. The person who tweeted it was at Mexican Wild Dog, tweeted this picture. It was like a two-panel tweet. The first one said, it was from PragerU. It said, what would America look like if we got everything we wanted? And then the second slide, I don't know if you've seen that clip where people are smoking a blunt in a McDonald's drive-thru, and like the person at the window smoking a blunt, and then like a person from the car in the front, like in front of them, is also like trying to hit the blunt. This music is playing during it. And anyway, without getting dinged on the sound sweepers, what happens is it's just a drive-through line where everybody is getting out of their car, sharing like a couple blunts. Then somebody comes from behind, brings their blunt. Then they give the blunt to the dude at the drive-through window. He hits the blunt. And again, PragerU, yes, I believe that is a very good summation of this is the future that the left would want. It's like, hey, man, we're just surviving. And then another one is, where is it at?
That was so funny.
And then finally, Noah Garfinkel at Noah Garfinkel tweeted, I grew up in Cabot Cove, and a lot of us feel she exploited our massive murder problem for profit. Maybe keep that in mind in response to the passing of Angela Lansbury from Murder, She Wrote. Because obviously Cabot Cove, we're like, yo, what the fuck was going on in that town?
Small town, a murder a week.
Yeah.
All right. Tweet I've been enjoying. So Toby tweeted, what's something that you think our parents' generation got right but we're failing at? And Chadston tweeted, Stereos. They used to have a big cabinet-sized sets with wood paneling and the two speakers that looked like they were stolen from a dance hall. We got an egg that's recording our conversations for the police.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's about right.
They're listening.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Yo, I found a really cool band. They're called Say She She. S-A-Y-S-H-E-S-H-E. They are like, as they describe, discodelic band. So like psychedelic disco is this trio, female-led discodelic crew. And they're like really into Nile Rodgers, who's obviously one of the greatest producers of all time. And like it's sort of a nod to Nile Rodgers. But damn, this shit sounds like lost trippy disco tapes from the 70s. But they're like a crew now. Like they're from people from like London and Brooklyn. So check out Say She She. This track is called Blow My Mind. And this is a really, really dope track. I can't wait to hear the rest of their music. So shout out to the female-led discodelic trio. If those words interest you, by all means, listen to this track called Blow My Mind. Say She She.
Amazing. All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.